time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yep. Yes, yes. We are back. We are back. Another week in the books, you know, post-election, all of that other shit, you know. But we here. Yeah. You know what I mean? What's good with you, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man, but the world ain't feeling so great. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I'm not feeling great because of the election because, of course, you know, just my side lost. But, you know, I'm not going to let that shit, you know what I'm saying, diminish my motherfucking feelings and shit. Because, as Cameron said in Paid in Full, shit, when you say niggas die every day, B, niggas lose every 4 years, B. Somebody going to be losing. You know what I'm saying? Only one motherfucker going to make it to the White House. So, I work with a lot of women, you know what I'm saying? So I could, you know, I could feel a disappointment every day and I could, you know what I'm saying, see the loss. I could hear, you know what I'm saying, where they feel. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, a lot of people are taking on the energy of the internet, you know what I'm saying? The black women are, you know what I'm saying, on strike and, you know what I'm saying? Don't ask us for nothing. And you know what I'm saying? It's y'all patriarchal niggas' fault. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So I get to see it every day close up, hear it every day close up. You know what I'm saying? But just like when Trump won the first time, just like when George W. Bush won, you know what I'm saying? It's like, shit, nigga got to get up and get shit going because these bills ain't going to stop no matter who in that motherfucker.
I agree. That's true. That's true for sure. I've seen a little bit of that too. That the energy, the demoralization of certain people, or you know, a group of people feeling deeply disappointed. You know, I could see it, and I could understand it and feel for them. You know, and feel for whomever feels that way. You know, it is disappointing. But, I think I processed it for the most part. I think when I see my man's face being sworn in, it may trigger something. But, I mean, look, I think particularly as black people, you know, our life is about enduring shit and figuring it out and getting through it in spite of, you know what I mean? Like this is, it's just, it is what it is. I was talking to a friend of mine and they were like, yeah, man, you know, they planning to do this and they trying to do that. And I was like, but they've been planning to do this and planning, trying to do that for as long as I can remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, there may be somebody that is now leading the charge, or a new person leading the charge with maybe some more gusto or whatever. But what don't kill you only gonna make you stronger. You know what I mean? And you know, that's really it. I feel like what really made me come to terms with, I saw my brother-in-law too, but what really made me come to terms with it is the reality of America voted for who America wanted, right? Or at least the America that voted. And I think there's a thing of sometimes we can believe we live in the America that we want it to be, and then the reminder that, nah, this is the America that it is, you know? And shit, I mean, if you look at what happened, the returns and all of that, that America really went out then and made their decision. So, unfortunately, it is what it is. You know, and that's very pat. You know, there's plenty of Monday morning or Wednesday morning quarterbacking that could have been done, but that was part of my process. And then, you know, I did a little bit of that. But the end, you know, but shit, it is what it is. As you know, the Skylar Glorilla say at the end of the day gonna end. So don't let the sun set on you. You know what I mean? Because the sun rises every day, so should you. You should get up and get it. I believe one of our conversationalists, that's what he said. I did a little temp check on the IG stories and how y'all feeling. You know, Kat was like, look, man, I woke up this morning and hopefully I wake up the next morning. And shit.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the beauty of it all, you know, because everybody don't, you know.
Yes, sir. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, I think this the time for all of the, you know, people that's feeling the way, for all of the people who worked and stomped for the Democratic side, all of the people who, you know, have vested interest in her winning. I think it's now is the time to get shit set up. You know what I'm saying? And stop being reactive and be proactive on how we move forward. You know what I'm saying? We definitely going, you know, you're going to see some wild shit over the next four. Shit that, you know, you probably would have felt like it would have been different if somebody else was in there. But we got to get ready. You know what I'm saying? They got to get ready. Everybody got to get ready to make the moves that need to be made. And you know what I'm saying? Start listening to the people who know how to do that and who know how to put shit together and stop just listening to the TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Because TikTok and all the social shit, it's a lot of talk back and forth. But where the motion at? Where the action? And if we sitting around with our lip poked out for the next 4 years, we'll be right back in the same place, unprepared. So, you know, who knows, man? Everybody predicting all kind of shit. This going to happen, that going to happen. But ain't shit going to happen but what happened. So just be prepared for the, you know what I'm saying, what happens and what we plan to do next.
Yeah, and that applies for the Democrats too. I just feel like
that's what I'm saying to the Democrats. People who worked hard for the Democrats.
Right. Yeah, that definitely. We've been saying that for a while. Like, you know, like, let's get that bullpen cracking. You know what I'm saying? That pipeline pumping. The beauty of social media, particularly though, is that. It's a community in itself, and it's like this collective experience. Like, even on the commiserating level, you know what I'm saying? Commiseration could turn into content. But at the same time, like, that is the community. Like, you can identify certain people, and I think that needs to happen. I think there needs to, as you said, like, I think there should be some building and maybe even some, I don't say subterfuge, but some building on the low. Don't let everybody know your next move, but be planning, putting some shit together. So, you know, because that's the thing. I do think, I feel like some of them, I guess, I don't know if you call them Republicans or MAGA or whomever. I don't know what the percentage is, but I feel like a lot of motherfuckers was, some were playing that card close to their chest. You know what I'm saying? I think there was some, you know, what do you call those? Some ghosts in the machine, some spooks by the door, some motherfucking, some, you know, some villains in Kamala merch that had you thinking one way. Nah. We going this way. Because it definitely, some, there was points where shit felt very hopeful and very, like a lot of momentum. But, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. And that was me particularly, personally. And if anybody was speaking to me throughout this whole shit, even back when, you know, old fucking Biden and his senility, you know what I mean? I was still very much managing expectations, you know, hoping for the best, expecting the worst, hedging, you know, and then shit. So, but then there's a moment where, like, you know, that hope tastes good. You know what I mean? Smell good, feel good, the whole shit. That's the thing about hope. Hope feel good to the motherfucker. But then when the shit fall apart, It's like, it's like a crash. It's like a high with a come down that is sudden and sharp. And I found myself part of the despair, maybe, or just the hurt feelings of it all is to be like, damn, man, I done got my hopes up when I knew this is America. This thing, I've been here for 47 years. I should know better. Nigga, what is you doing? You done been through quite a few cycles. But at the same time, the fact that I've been through so many cycles to that point does make me feel like, okay, you know, as Kendrick Lamar Duckworth would say, we're going to be all right. You know what I mean? We're going to endure. We'll make it through. We could do four on our head. You know what I'm saying? Or hopefully it's only four, because that motherfucker definitely said, yo, if you vote for me this one time, you'll never have to vote again. And I think my man is a cat with a whole lot of empty promises and loud threats. But that shit, that's one of them things that I think he tried to make that happen. But either way, we're going day by day it, you know? So that's that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. But you know, peace to the people, power to the people. We'll be back. You know. Oh shit, man. Yeah.
Peace to the people, power to the people.
We'll be back.
All right. Shit. Now. What else good?
Man, I'm be honest with you. That shit was like the least of the bad shit. I ain't really gonna talk too much about, but like, yeah, shit ain't all good. I'll talk further about it later. I'm still processing shit. I ain't even trying to be coy. I'm just trying to, you know, get it all the way together. And it's interesting. It made me think, is compartmentalization a sickness or a superpower? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to, you know what I mean? Like, not, you don't have to, but sometimes you choose to, you know what I'm saying? Just to kind of move forward and, you know. Yeah, but. That's
some bad news for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'll talk to you about but I ain't going to crack it on the mic right this second. you know, but beyond that, you know, shit, I'm here. I'm in the, you know what I mean? I'm in your ear canal talking shit. You know, I just got done watching the finale of Penguin. And I rather enjoyed it, even though the streets in Atlanta say it is trash.
I started on it. I started on Sunday. That was last night. I started on it, and I fell asleep in the middle of the first one. So, not saying it wasn't good. It looked like it was intense, but it was just a long ass day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And as you say, you know what I'm saying. See, me, with this whole shit about how my brain work with the future and shit, you don't really realize how much the future affects everything you think about. You know what I'm saying? Or at least, it's like say, my wife would be like, you know, what are you going to eat? That's future talk. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? She's like, well, how do you decide what you're going to eat? I don't know. I just go outside. I walk up, like, around work. I just walk up the street till I kind of see something that I'm like, all right, I'll fuck with that. You know what I'm saying? Because when you can't see that shit in visuals, it's hard to put together. You know what I'm saying? For me, because I've been using visuals my whole life. So, you know, it's bad news that come. I'm in the middle of a war on a lot of different fronts. You know what I'm saying? About 3-4 fronts my whole life, really. But I can't see what's, you know what I'm saying, what could happen or what's going to happen or what I want to happen. Therefore, I don't worry about that shit. I go. And when it's time for action, and I know it's time for action, I know what to do when it hit me. But thinking about it beforehand is like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I can't even think about that shit because I don't see it. I feel it. I feel something is coming, but it ain't no determination on which way it's coming. So until it come, I got my boots on, I got my war paint on, and I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? And it take a lot of stress out of the motherfucking equation. You know what I'm saying? But it's also a scary notion to not have it.
Right.
So I've just been walking around in the dark around this motherfucker with my little knife, ready for whoever hit the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Who, right. Who, what? Oh, my bad. Yeah. Damn. I ain't know it was you.
Like a nigga in a Bruce Lee flick, nigga. You know, them niggas be coming at you. You just reacting to what's there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not much time to plan out your whole routine.
Right.
Niggas jumping out the trees. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you finish these 10 niggas, it's that and more coming up the hill.
Man, I ain't watched a Bruce Lee flick in a minute. I might go revisit the Bruce Lee flicks. Because, yeah, it's been a little while. I want to go watch a Bruce Lee flick. But to what you said, I think it's the first time you ever said that, though. Like, I know you said you can't really see much in the future, the plan and everything. But then you said you could feel the impending.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
But you could feel it. But the trick is, how do you utilize that fear? That pressure, or
anxiety.
That, how do you utilize it as motivation, or as, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to do it when you've never done it like that. And and now that I'm in the situation, I'm sure people think about it in various different ways and operate and use different tools than I use, but I haven't used no different tools. So it's like, how do I use these other tools? Like, this is my first time picking up a hammer. I don't know what to do with this. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how to, like, if you listen to any motivational book or anything like that, they'll be like, you know, envision, you know, what you see as success and then work towards it. You're like, nigga, what if you can't see? You know what I'm saying? So I had to answer that question for myself. Like, what do you do if you can't see? Because I know any time of pain, pressure, down, if I could see the end result, my vision, I could just move towards that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? No matter what's going on. And he's throwing, shooting darts at a nigga, all that shit. You can just keep on going through it because you know what's on the other side. Like somebody said, hey, man, it's $1 million in a safe deposit box on Pico Avenue in Los Angeles, but you got to walk. Nigga, you going to walk your ass to Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what's in the safe deposit box. On Pico.
It's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it.
But if somebody say, yeah, it's $1 million in L.A., you ain't finna walk there. You know what I'm saying? You like, shit, goddamn, let me figure this, you know what I mean? Let me get some more info. So, I feel you, dog. I just, I not choose, but the way it's built now, it don't stress me out as much. You know what I'm saying? I try to tend to grab on to the things that are happening good in the moment. It forces you to plant yourself in the present. And one thing it shows me that in previous iterations, I always lived in the future. You know what I'm saying? And you're just moving through, making shit happen. Like, you know, you hear your shit gotta happen, but everything that you're working on and towards is down the line. You know what I mean? So this shit right here plants you squarely in the present and deal with it. And therefore I do.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like there, I mean, obviously you got to make it what it is, but it seems like there is some benefit to that too, you know, because it forces you, you know, to fully be present, to be in the, and not to be, you know, worried about shit that you can't control, or just worried about shit that you can't even see, you know? Do you meditate?
No, not really. Like I said before on this thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, first, let me back up. I don't really meditate per se because I learned a different kind of process probably around about 1992. And I was in New York for the first time on internship. And by myself, really. And you in a city with 8 million motherfuckers and it's just you. You don't really know nobody, you know what I'm saying? So you just, you walk the streets, you ain't got a whole lot of money. You look, you know what I'm saying? You see niggas in these nice restaurants doing nice things. You can't participate. You're outside, on the outside looking in. And walking the streets of New York as a foreigner and broke, you know what I'm saying? It forces you to have these conversations in your head or have these, you know what I'm saying, meditative-esque, you know what I'm saying, thoughts or no non-thoughts as you move through the city. So I find myself walking from 55th Street to 110th Street, you know what I'm saying, to see my homeboy, you know what I mean? And throughout that process, you got so much going on, but it's just you in the middle of all this. And it created a meditative state for me. You know what I'm saying? I've learned that I could talk to myself. I could relate to myself. I could feel, you know what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. I could feel all of this, what's going on. And then I realized that I never had the time or never taken the time to do that. So therefore, it started a different kind of process and where you include the whole your environment around you. And then when I started listening to that mindfulness thing, what I was telling you about, that's the point of it. It's like being mindful of your present and your environment. And as you're going along, that mindfulness creates the same. That's the thing that meditation is trying to get to, that type of mindfulness. So I guess in the process, you kind of skip meditation to get straight to the mindfulness. But that's why. But I do breathe, which, you know, some could say.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I started back doing it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So I do that. And that's good stuff. You know what I mean?
Bad.
Yeah, I'm thinking like something could be done to increase the, you know what I'm saying, the awareness of that type shit. But go ahead.
Of meditation or breathing?
Meditation or breathing or just that mindfulness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of being present and allowing the world that is as it is to be a part of your whole being. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, mm-hmm. like, meditation seems like you want to block out the world. And being mindful, you're kind of paying attention to the world as it is, as it's going. You know what I mean? So I don't know the difference because I'm no expert. But right. that's how I internalized it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like on a certain level, it seems as though meditation particularly, it kind of goes against the culture of, at least American culture. American culture is so hustle-minded, rat race-oriented, stay busy, going, you know what I mean? Chasing the carrot. At least most people that are, like, participating in capitalism on the base side of the pyramid, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people are chasing this particular carrot of one day I'll be able to relax and chill. One day I'll go on a vacation. One day I'll travel. But right now I got to get this money because I got to ensure that when I one day take a minute for myself that I can fucking sustain that shit. You know, because I'll tell you this, and I don't... You know, obviously I participated in capitalism, but there's a part of me that kind of sees the mind fuck that it is. But at the same time, the times that I have practice meditation, and I believe I'm going to try to go back to it, is it just feels like, and I know, and I, you know, it's like meditation meets anxiety, right? Because it feels like, nigga, what are you doing? You need to be, fuck is you, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm away from my desk and shit, the phone is ringing, or I'm away, the fucking house is about to burn down, and the reality of it all is, even if the phone is ringing, if the house is burning down, you need to tend to that. But if that phone is ringing and them emails is coming in and all of that other shit, it could wait until 15, or maybe if you're going as far as 30 minutes. Look at me, I'm still hedging the meditation time. It's probably niggas that meditate for an hour, which sounds like, that sounded crazy as I even said it. But in that time that you take to yourself, trust me, man, you'll be able to regain and recalibrate and you know what I mean, and grab those fucking, those dishes, those plates that are you juggling in the air, you know, if you just, I think, grant yourself that. I've noticed when I did do it, And I haven't did it consistently. I mean, it'd be a span of maybe 3 days, three, four. I string about 3 or 4 days together, and then I just forget. And it's not even like I don't see the benefit of it. It's just that more often than not, I'm just so used to the routine of just getting up and starting that by the time I think, oh, damn, I ain't meditating, I'm like at least 20% into the day already. You know what I mean? It's almost like missing, you're taking your vitamins or something. Like, damn, because I'm supposed to take my vitamins at X amount of, you know, at this time of the day. And now it's this time of the day. Shit. But when I did do it, I could feel the benefit of it. I could feel like just knowing that you can calm yourself. Like, you could bring shit down. Like, I don't know who told me this, but like, because your brain's still going to be racing, you know what I mean? Especially if you're new to it. And again, I'm no expert. I got maybe 3 days, right? But, like, my brain will be racing at all these things, to-dos and shits and stuff to think about or whatever. But somebody was like, yo, act like you, like, in the water or something. And you sitting on a raft or whatever. And all these things, these demands, problems and everything that are coming in, they like on like lily pads or something, and you just push them bitches right back out to you know what I mean, push them shit, and maybe you even have to physically do the motion of pushing that shit away. But I will tell you, as I'm doing it right now, got my eyes closed and I'm pushing some shit away, it feel good. It feels good. You like, get that shit out of here. Or at least for a little bit, get that shit out of here for a minute. And it's just that motion, you can feel some agency in your own life. Like, man, that shit ain't that serious. Get that shit out of here. And then, you know, a little 15 minutes when it's over, 30 minutes, whatever, you know, the hour, you know, whatever. You like, yo, that shit was beneficial. I feel a little lighter. I feel like I completed something, at least me, you know? And yeah, I think more people need to talk about it. One of the reasons I thought about it was because of what you were just saying about, you know, not being stressed out. And stress can be, you know, stress is a killer for sure. And then I was watching Ferg on The Breakfast Club, and he was talking about how he's been meditating. Mm-hmm. And even beyond that, Jerry Seinfeld lives by that shit. He was like, dog, that is the best thing that's ever happened to him in his life. Mm. You know, motherfuckers that, you know, when you got the context of being extremely successful and well paid and all of that other shit, motherfucker can say anything, but like, yo, dog, I'm going to tell you, only wearing white socks and, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. That chain, niggas are still giving an ear. Just based on the back of your playing card, you know, but the way that he said that really changed his life, it definitely made me say, well, shit, maybe I should try it a little bit more, you know, like, I tell you this too, maybe I just mistake it for a heroin nod, but I don't see motherfuckers that's losing talking about meditation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see motherfuckers that's doing terrible, but like, I make sure I get 20 minutes a day. You know what I mean? I just take a little time to myself hearing this damn, you know, whatever, whatever. I was about to put a place on it, but I don't want to deem no places, no loser environment. You can win anywhere. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's that. That's what was on my mind in that moment.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? You gotta take time to consult with the universe out there, or, you know what I'm saying, consult with silence. But I think, you know, in this whole era of, you know, soft life and meditation and mindful and demure and all of the stuff, you know what I'm saying? I think hustle gets a bad rap because a lot of people think hustling is just going head first all day, all night, yada, I got to get it, and it's all about money, and yada, and it's not really that, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, you know what I'm saying, feel a very calm, meditative sense in just the things that they do, you know what I'm saying? So if you're an artist and you just being prolific, pumping out shit, and you had a mindset of, I'm going to get as much work out of here, out of me before I'm gone, could sound like hustle life, hustle culture, but it's actually that person's purpose and vision to do these things. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's a big difference between doing shit just to do it, or doing it because you see it, doing it because, you know, just because of money, and really being about your purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I'm the nigga who made 21st Century Hustle magazine. 2006. Well, shit, we had a newsletter in fucking 2000. You know what I'm saying? So I was on the hustle. I was trying to get it at a young age, but at a certain point in there, by the time the magazine came up, it had become more about exploring all of the things that I want to be or I am, you know what I'm saying, and being that shit in the moment of doing it. You know what I mean? So, you know, again, the blowback from all of the, you know, the new era soft life stuff and technology and AI and things are easier kind of points the finger back at, oh, hustle culture is a detrimental thing. And I don't think it's necessarily that. Yeah, some people take it all the way to the edge and too far and do too much. But other people, it's just part of who they are and the purpose of why they're here. So that's all I was. I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Yeah, you dig it.
Why we?
I dig it. It's all balance. Yeah, I think it's all balance for sure. You know what I mean? Because I think that, you know, when I was saying up front, like, life is to be endured. You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe that's not the best word for it, but like, you have to persist because shit is going to happen in life. Whether you plan it for it, whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. And, you know, there are people that kind of, you could try to run away from it, or you could cope using all types of other methods, or you could just, you know, deal with it straight on. Either way, you're going to have to deal with it, or it's going to deal with you. That's just living. That's the existing. That is part of the existence of it all. And soft life, you know, that's ideal. But shit, man, we live on a rock. And this shit ain't no marble. This shit ain't the most. There's some rough edges to this bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's nothing wrong with, like, when I say I'm using hustle culture in the just the terminology of it as it's been deemed, but I'm not mad at people with purpose and moving with intent and moving, you know, deliberately and with gusto and energy. I'm just saying, make sure that you carve out some time for yourself too in the midst of all of that. But yeah, it's all balance, man. It's all balance.
Yeah, and people like I'm not pushing back. But you say carve out time for yourself. Sometimes that is the time for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
All right, there
you sometimes, like me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the only time you have for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm. When everything else, you're responsible for all these people. You know what I'm saying? So by the time you look up, they in your face like, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? When you when you working in the space and you managing people, all them people in your mind all day. You know what I'm saying? Asking questions. They responsible for this. So you asking them, you know, where this, where that. The only time you have to just be to yourself, really, a lot of times, is in creating these ideas or executing these ideas. And a lot of times when you on the hustle and you created the idea, you know what I'm saying? Executing them is part of the whole vision. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I planned this. I'm doing this. I work. I plan my work. I work my plan. And this is me. You know what I'm saying? So once you get into that space, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, don't overwork and don't not sleep and don't have conversations with your family and don't go on vacation. But that time you working, a lot of people be like, oh, you just overworking yourself. You need to sit down. Like, this is my peace. You know what I'm saying? This is peaceful for me. You know what I'm saying? This is my art.
I can dig it. I hear that. Man. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Yo, man. I know you fell asleep, but I'm curious to hear what you think if you stick with Penguin.
No. It's definitely a very cinematic look. I just realized my TV was on some fuck shit. Well, not really. The settings was on that regular ass picture look, looking like USA movies, USA TV movies from back in the day.
Right.
So a lot of times, you know, you'll give it a pass, whatever. I don't know why this shit looking like this. But when Penguin came on, I was like, nah, this shit supposed to look way more cinematic than it's looking. Something ain't right, because this shit look like video camera. So I went to the settings and changed that shit to cinematic, you know what I'm saying, to movie. And then I was like, this is what's been wrong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Here we go. All right. It was Gotham, you know what I'm saying? And you know, the way they had him made up and that funny ass walk he had, you know what I'm saying? That shit was like, okay, this finna be something. Let me get myself prepared. Then
Now it took me a few rounds to get through the first couple episodes for sure. You know, I already know how that is. another thing that I'm looking forward to at the end of this week is and it's funny, I'm looking forward to it now. I mean, it's low investment, but this Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight. I'm not is gonna lie to you, dog. That's Friday, Pop.
Lord,
yeah, that's
Friday. Mercy.
Yeah, I got pulled in because I was watching, me and my brother, we was watching the they got like a little countdown to the fight where they follow, you know, Tyson and Jake Paul and, you know, kind of tell their story. They go back to Brownsville with Tyson and shit, and they go with Jake Paul and tell his YouTube story. And, you know, obviously they're two totally different starting points. But it made me, honestly, and it wasn't just that, but, you know, that's the beauty of these little dramatizations, I guess. You know what I mean? Like when it's a little story told, it makes me consider a good narrator will make me look at the shit with a closer eye. You know what I'm saying? Okay, well hold on. There's some gravitas, right? So you know, I used to dismiss this kid, Jake Paul, and what's his brother, Logan Paul. I didn't even really know much about their ascension. I knew that they was some YouTubers or whatever. Even that word sometimes could be very dismissive or have a stigma to it, even though there's a lot of money getting YouTubers and streamers. You know, that's a whole industry. But I kind of looked at it as just the optics of it all. I was like, who are these fucking, I don't say posers, but like you buying in to establish yourself. You know, you got some money and some clout and you got an audience and you like, yo, you know what? I want to fight Mayweather. Because the thing about boxing is, if you on the bill with somebody, y'all are equal in that moment. Because in boxing, it's a puncher's chance. So you got to take me seriously if this person took the fight. You know what I'm saying? So for a while, I was kind of like dismissing it to that. And there's still a bit of that I can feel like. But, it's the American way. It's the American way when, like, it's intentional. It's strategy. There's some shit going on. Like, and it would, they tell a story of, you know, they blew up just doing dumb shit on YouTube. And then the fame got crazy. And then, you know, they was young and making millions and they were wilding out. And then I guess he had beef with some other YouTubers that kind of called them out, and then they did like a little fake little, you know, like not fake, but they did a little boxing thing. You know, everybody loved the boxing, the clout match. You know what I'm saying? There's always a lot of people that be like, well, we should just put the gloves on. You know, most often they never boxing. Just put the gloves on. Stand in the ring.
Let's
just
my ass dough.
Right, right. But not even in that, and not even in that, because that's gloveless talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right. These niggas is capitalizing. You know what I'm saying? So
that's my point. So yeah, so it was just like he did that, and I guess he beat the YouTuber, and he was like, "Yo, hold on." And I think he might have beat a couple more YouTubers, and was looking at the returns on these beatings, and was like, "Hold on. We might need to elevate this. We might need to really bring in some people that have some notoriety in the boxing world, because I smell a pivot. You know what I mean? And I'm fucking up, and I'm on some real, you know, I'm wilding, headed to rehab. It's looking bad for the kid. You know what I'm saying? I might fucking die face down in a koi pond if I don't pump a break and hit a left." And I was just like, okay, you know, I was like, okay, I respect the savvy. You know what I mean? I respect the savvy of it all. Like, okay, you see the power of your platform and what you could, you know, again, capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's definitely different from obviously the, you know, Tyson. You know what I'm saying? And shit is just way, way different and way more severe. Stakes are way higher. But there's that. I was like, all right, put it in a little bit more context. I kind of knew that. But again, the narration helped. Made me say, okay, whatever. What I also like is to kind of, and I noticed, I was just peeping like what the language they were using. There's, because Jake Paul is not, I don't believe at this point, even sanctioned to be a fighter. I don't think he got no belts or nothing. He's just like a motherfucker that got some money and can leverage some shit. He's a promoter. He's a promoter that's fighting. He promoting and fighting his own joints. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, bet. So he's taking advantage of opportunity. But at the same time, there are these two women who are actual pro fighters who he promoted their fight. And he's doing a rematch. And I noticed that instead of calling it the undercard, he was like the main co-main event. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like he using, you know, the strength of his audience to kind of build some other shit, to shine some light on some two fighters that probably wouldn't get the same amount of attention. So I was like, all right, fair enough. And then the other part of it is I want to see, because the first time I heard about it, I was like, man, I don't, why is Tyson doing this shit? You know what I'm saying? We talked about this. I was like, you know, first I'm thinking, you know, I had more fear for his legacy than he did. And I realized, dog, your legacy is your legacy to do what with. And even if, and God forbid, I don't even say God, I don't even bring God into this stunt. But, you know, hopefully he don't get his ass knocked out. You know what I'm saying? I would hate to see that shit happen. Yeah. But even if he got knocked down, that motherfucker is still Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't step to him after he got up off the canvas, because that's still fucking Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson had been knocked out, it's still been Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know what I mean?
My nigga.
But I do hope he tears ass up. And when I see Tyson like sparring, this is my last little thing. I see Tyson spar. There's one scene in this fucking countdown shit where he's with his sparring partner, and it's a moment where it looked like his sparring partner did not know what was about to happen. You know what I'm saying? Tyson stopped that punch. It was almost like that nigga jumped in front of a bullet. The way that man sparring partner was like, whew, like you felt that shit, and the sparring partner kind of had to, you know, get his shit back, and he's like, yeah, man, you're looking good. You know what I'm saying? But like, that motherfucker might have, if not pissed his pants, might have shit his pants, because that motherfucker Tyson was coming through with some fury. And this is some shit that I heard. I don't know if this is a rumor or not. Somebody that allegedly used to box and maybe been in random circles or whatever, they said back in the day when Tyson was coming up and he was sparring, motherfucker used to have to keep a stun gun on him just because they might not be able to stop him. And they would have to hit him with a stun gun. Now, I don't know how true that shit is, but that is crazy lore.
This nigga like a whole animal.
Yo, every time I watch Tyson, the motherfucker remind me of a pit bull. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like this motherfucker, the ferocity, you know, like the motherfucker unpredictability. Like, yeah, man, I really hope all of that is present Friday when he go, and I hope he go upside fucking, I hope he fucking drop this motherfucker, Jake Paul. Like, just because I just need to see that shit. Right. I need to see that shit. And it's like just any of these little countdown shows, they pull you in. I'm invested again. You know what I mean? Before I was like, man, this is some circus shit, boom, bap, whatever the fuck. Go get your money, man, whatever, whatever. But, man, when I see Tyson training and shit like that, yeah, it looked like Tyson broke again. You know what I'm saying? It's that intensity. It's like, yeah, dog, this shit could go left, and I want to see it. I want to see that shit. I want that old school Iron Mike shit. I want that motherfucker to understand what he dealing with.
Right.
That's all. That's
no
all.
Doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, man.
And first off, you know what I'm saying? Iron Mike wasn't broke by the time he was Iron Mike. That nigga probably wasn't broke since he was 19. Think he won the first belt at 19. He was already rich, man. So he fought broke.
Mm.
He, you know what I'm saying? He kept that low-key demeanor, the black shorts with no socks and a motherfucking cut towel with a hole.
Identified as broke. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But here we are, man. This is more than, to me, it's more than just Tyson's legacy, this fight. This is what you get out of the attention economy. You know what I'm saying? First of all, boxing was all about attention anyway. Who can draw the most? It was never about who was the best all the time, because a lot of times some of the best niggas ain't get the fights. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, what's the best matchup for the attention and for the draw the most money? You know what I'm saying? So now you got a cat who has mastered attention and has an audience that will follow him and come look at him. Then you pair him with another nigga who mastered attention throughout his whole ride. And now you got a big payday. You know what I'm saying? So even if Tyson thought about his legacy, shit, legacy ain't finna put no more M's in your bank account until they do. You know what I'm saying? And this is what legacy is doing for him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Legacy is the one putting him in this ring, because he could draw more attention than a lot of niggas. You put Michael Spinks in that motherfucker, it wouldn't be the same. You know what I'm saying? Or whoever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. Right.
So his legacy is paying him right now. It's maybe saving his life right now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
His old self might be saving his new self. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what his situation was or not. But again, I don't even know what the payday on this shit is, but this nigga's doing all this.
100 million, allegedly.
Yeah, nigga.
Ain't nobody come on. Just coming 100 to million?
100. Niggas is rapping they motherfucking ass off trying to get to 100 million, man.
Niggas is selling they publishing for 100 million. You know everything
like
they think.
Their whole career. Yeah. They, same
right,
thing.
Take it.
They legacy is saving them in 2024. You know what I'm saying?
You dropped some shit. I didn't even think about that. Go ahead.
You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
His legacy is what put him in this position. And
right.
Win, lose, or draw, shit, he going to cash out. And if he do right. win, he really going to cash out. And if he don't win, it'll be 6 months of shit to talk about afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Maybe a rematch.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I don't know about rematch.
We, who grew up in it, we see it as a spectacle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Paul and all these new motherfuckers understand the spectacle is what pays. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump knows that the spectacle is what pays. You know?
Yeah.
Them motherfuckers ain't, the first time he won, they ain't think, oh, this nigga ain't got no motherfucking chance. He ain't never did this shit before. But he did spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And this world is in a spectacle space right now. And that's what we are witnessing.
Yo, you know, and it's probably, it was shit. It was a spectacle back in the day. Back when we was looking at it, like it was more than what boxing it was, but it was always a spectacle. Yo, but to that point, and it kind of not goes against, but it's in line with what I was saying a little earlier about how motherfuckers would just be like chasing a carrot. You know, we're talking about legacy like it's a fucking Roth IRA and you can't really touch that shit until you damn near dead. And it's not even you that's going to benefit. It's the kids that probably have no real regard for it anyway. But the fact of the matter is, hell yeah, Nick, if you could draw off of your legacy in life, like you said, his old self is saving his new self. That's serious shit. That's a beautiful fucking thing, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that shit flies hell. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm definitely watching that. I'm definitely watching. That shit is it.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, man. That's crazy. Yeah. You know? Because who else could you go get? You get George Foreman? None of that ain't going to do the same thing.
Nah, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. I'm curious who's next.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who else do we fight next? You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, if you get knocked the fuck out, it was what it was.
I mean, made it depends on who.
I'm not talking about Tyson. I'm talking about Paul.
But I'm saying.
Because do you go from there?
Right. But if Paul promoting it, right? I don't know who promoting this shit. But
Paul.
Yeah. So, Paul promoting, he getting paid E.or. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, if the purse is $100 million and Tyson win $100 million. It's basically Paul, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I got it for you. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to eat regardless. This shit ain't even like a, there ain't no belt involved. It ain't no, you know what I'm saying? None of that. Yeah. This shit is like these YouTubers giving out Lamborghinis or some shit just to create the spectacle. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
So Paul don't have to fight again.
Not at all. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he got knocked out, it'd be even better closure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, Tyson, you shouldn't do that no more.
Well, he can't say nigga, but shit.
No, he can't say that. not publicly. Yeah. But he might mumble that shit if he gets knocked the fuck out.
He probably say that shit to himself. And nigga, I'm fighting Tyson. Hell
yeah. For sure. Oh, man. That's crazy.
Like, nigga, you won't get a chance to fight Tyson.
No, I don't even want that.
I know.
I don't even want that. I mean, I don't want that shit. That's great. Well, 100 million.
Right.
100 million.
But
it's right him. Now, 100 it's million. The, would you get in the ring with Tyson?
100? Shit, yeah, nigga. Shit. Put my daughter on speed dial. I got me a crew of nurses ready to work. You know what I'm saying?
Immediately.
I'm going to lay up for a while, but I'm going to lay up nice. And I'm going to have me a little team tending to my wounds.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. The best.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
The best, brightest, and cutest. You know what I'm saying?
The hilarious.
I'm going to have a good view, man. Put me in the wrong world of mine.
For sure. That's funny as shit. Laid up. Laid up.
Then I'm going to start me a line of sunglasses, man. Cover up my black eyes.
Oh,
it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Cruz. Fucked up. Oh, shit, man.
But yeah, man. You know, niggas out here living their best life, man. And that's what you get to see, you know, with these YouTubers. You know what I'm saying? Where a lot of times they're just using creativity and imagination to imagine what's next. What can I do next? And they got to a level where they could pay themselves to do it. You know what I'm saying? And they get paid to do it. And like, you know, not to be corny or no shit like that, but
we all
have an opportunity to do that.
For sure.
And at certain levels, you know what I'm saying? At different levels. We ain't starting there. He ain't started there. Mm-hmm. But if you think about who you are, what you've done, you know what I'm saying? It's something about you that you could bring right now that could help fuel you to the next place. You know what I'm saying? Help save your own self.
Right.
You know?
Nah, that's real. That's real shit. That's some real shit. Like on, you know, that. There's a lot. I hope y'all listening. Niggas ain't check out 20 minutes ago, but no, for sure. Because this is some shit I want to just sit with. One, just the matter of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think, man, everybody's like, you need to know what your purpose is for what you're doing it for and all of that. And sometimes, you know, your purpose don't have to be super highfalutin. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It could just be something simple. And I don't know. That's something that I'm trying to really think about recently. But also, enthusiasm and joy, you know? Like, having fun with this shit. Everything that you're doing, like, really having fun. Like, just as you were just talking about, these YouTubers and stuff like that, and, like, you're getting paid to do these wild spectacles or these wild stunts or whatever. You know, sometimes stunt has a negative connotation with it, but, you know, stunts are one of the biggest draws. You know what I'm saying? Like, hell yeah. So, yeah, like, you know, and then shit, drawing upon the legacy in real life. I don't know why I just fucking hit y'all with the description of what the pod is, but yeah, that shit really sat with me for sure.
Right. And shit, I need to sit with it too, man, because.
Yeah.
Shit, you got to trade in all of that equity that you put in. You know what I'm saying? And I said that because, you know, I say it to myself a lot. You know what I'm saying? I say it to other people in regards to certain things that happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you be working on something, you be like, damn, the only reason I'm qualified to work on this shit, to bring this whole play together, is by some shit I did when I was motherfucking 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? And here it come all the way back. I could trade that shit in for value and cultural equity and money equity. And that shit is some weird shit. You know what I'm saying? But I have to mine my experience, my know-how, my things that I've done to see what other things can do the same thing. And it's almost like, when I was thinking I would never have another new idea, and God was like, man, use the ones you already got. You know what I'm saying? You got many.
Mm-hmm.
Just you pick one. You know what I'm saying? And these are the things, you know what I'm saying? Go back into them old notebooks and look at that shit and be like, damn, that shit's still staying. I need to fuck with that. But we get caught up in what's going on, what everybody else doing, and it's hard to see what you can do. Until somebody else say it, but if you put active intent on that shit, then you might be able to see the things that you already got that's sitting right there that change your whole fucking shit.
Let's go ahead and put a bow on this bitch, man. Come on, man. That was a gift, man. That was a gift. We done. That was a gift. You know what I mean? I know motherfuckers might be feeling sad, but yeah, listen to that. Listen twice. It was a good one, man. It was a good one. I don't think we need to say no more. You know what I mean? I'm going to let y'all know. Well, shit, before I go, I do want to plug some dates.
No doubt.
Pottstown, Pennsylvania. I'm coming back. I'll be out there November 21st. Be out there rocking out Soul Joe's, you know how we do. November 22nd, I'll be in Rockville Center at the Pantry doing a joint. So that's a one night only situation. I got a few other things. I'm about to start posting some ticket links on DamianLemon.com. They should be live, if not tomorrow, by the end of the week. But for sure, I'm going to promote about him on Instagram and in the stories and all of that. But yeah, November 21st, Pottstown, PA, if you're near, be in the building. November 22nd, if you're close, be in the building, Rockville Center. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.